Once you start treating overweight and obesity, what are the weight loss targets?
Well, you know, the good news is that in most situations, we're not really talking about weight loss. You know, weight maintenance will work very well. So what I mean by that is, for example, for children between the 85th and the 94th percentile, you know, these children do not have to lose weight. They only have to maintain their weight, because as they grow and add height, then their BMIs will fall as a result of their weight velocity slowing down. Okay. Now, for those children who are between the 95th and 99th percentile, between the ages of 2 and 5, it's the same target. It's weight maintenance. Now, for children between the ages of 6 and 11, it's also weight maintenance, but it's perfectly okay to encourage weight loss of no more than 1 pound per month. Now, for teenagers between the ages of 12 and 18, here we're really talking about losing some weight. And the recommendation is to lose no more than 2 pounds per month. Now, if you were to see a teenager back and you were seeing a pattern of weight loss of more than 2 pounds per week, then that should trigger some significant concern that there may be some problems with disordered eating going on.
Well, and Phil, also you have to be sure they don't have something like diabetes or some other medical issue that could cause weight loss. Yes.
Well, we had a chance to see firsthand some of the challenges that many families face when we met with Ashley from Kalama, Washington. Now, as we'll see, it can be a challenge getting the whole family involved, but it's worth it.
I've always kind of been a little overweight. I've just always had bad eating habits, and I didn't really exercise all that much. I just always compare myself to the other girls, because like all my friends were really skinny.
Are you gonna go to homecoming?
I think so.
I want you to think about Shine, our guidelines, the things that we've talked about over the past several weeks, and think about your progress.
It was Ashley's idea to go to Shine. She wanted to see what it was all about when she got the postcard in the mail about girls increasing their self-image through diet and meal planning.
We wanted to find a way to offer teen girls some resources and teach them some skills that might help them make some healthy choices that they can sustain long-term, to help with weight management, just to overall help them lead a healthy lifestyle, to feel good about themselves.
I just wanted to get in better shape and look better.
Small changes add up, so stick with them and don't give up on yourself.
I try to incorporate a weight routine into my day. Then I also have soccer practice after school.
Ashley is a fabulous player on our team. She always sets high goals for herself.
I decided to do the same thing Ashley was doing at home, because it's so hard as a teenager to diet or eat healthy when the rest of the family is eating differently.
I started doing it simply because, you know, my pants were getting pretty tight. My eating habits were, you know, terrible. Me and my wife would go to lunch together, and it would be going to a fast food place, and, you know, almost on a daily basis. I was 190 pounds and decided, you know what, I'd probably need to get with the program and support my wife and daughter in this. The message is the importance of eating as a family and eating right as a family. It's very important for this to be a family deal, because it's not going to work if the whole family is not involved.
We're all eating healthier meals prepared at home. We're not bringing the junk food into the house. I read all the labels that I bring into the home and make sure I'm bringing things that are lower in fat, lower in calories.
We get them involved in the process. We let them make some of the choices. As a family, our physical activities now include, you know, going for some walks.
Before we go for a walk, we usually just all eat breakfast together, and then we put the collars on the dogs so they don't run away. Then we just walk until we get to the viewpoint and then just sit out there and look for a while. And then we hike back up. My self-esteem is higher and I'm not critical about my body, so I feel better and my weight's not constantly on my mind anymore.
It's not a diet, it's a lifestyle change. It's something that we can carry on and the whole family can do and be very successful.
I mean, this is absolutely wonderful. Ashley was a participant in a research program out of the Center for Health Research from Kaiser Permanente, and it was called SHINE, Study for the Healthy Integration of Nutrition and Exercise. Now, I think the powerful message here with this little vignette is that Ashley was the one who started the ball rolling by participating in the program. The rest of the family followed and joined in to try to provide support. And so really what's happened is that the whole family has started to provide support. And so really what's happened is that the whole family has started to make all of the important changes. And by doing so, everyone has become successful.
Oh, I think sometimes we've worked with a parent or somebody else in the family to try to get them to make change, but it's not until their child is at risk that they will suddenly decide that it's time to do something.
And I think what that's doing is introducing an important value.
Yes.
We all value the health of our children, and we all want to do what's right for them. Mm-hmm.
This is an area we've touched on, but just want to sort of specify advocacy. Obviously, physicians can play a huge role. What recommendations do you make?
Well, you know, I have a thought about that. And, you know, we've been talking during this entire program about essentially one-to-one impact. So it's I as a clinician, you know, it's Michelle and Fran as clinicians having a one-on-one encounter with patients and their families. And so we're combating childhood obesity in that fashion. But there's a whole nother way of trying to get at this question, which also gets at those other you know, issues that are that caused it. And so, for example, you know, being an advocate for changing the environment, being an advocate for improving school PE, being an advocate for more parks and places to walk and bicycle, you know, this is really very much an important corollary to this one-to-one impact. Because in a way, if we can have an impact on a broad population, isn't that equally valuable? Good example is vaccinations, seatbelts. These were very much community-wide public health initiatives, and physicians participated.
Right, and we need to
role in that.
You said it earlier, Michelle. I got very involved with the LA Unified ban of sodas inside our schools. And it was an incredible experience. But the power I had as a physician to go in there and say, here are the numbers, here's what's happening, here's a start. I mean, this is not the end, but it's a start. And, you know, it seemed very incremental, like we're asking our families to do. So I would implore our listeners to figure out what would be something you'd like to get involved with. One small aspect. And then, trust me, it's addictive.
Yeah. You know, I mean, the white coat effect is still has some validity here, and it may be nothing more than just writing a letter, you know, offering a commentary to a local newspaper about, you know, some issue in that community. This is the type of advocacy I think we're talking about.
Well, we've had a very rich and deep discussion covering all this material today. What would you say are the key take-home points for our viewers?
Well, first and foremost, obtain an accurate height and weight at each visit. calculate the BMI and determine the BMI percentile for age. When you're assessing a child for possibly being overweight, don't use your eyes. Don't use a visual assessment to make that determination.
Depending on whether you're looking at weight maintenance or weight loss, that there really are structured programs that can be utilized. We have to look at the community and what's available in the community. But we are the primary resource. We really have to be the ones who engage the patient and the family, assess the readiness to change, and start moving them down that metric. So whether it's working on what we're drinking first or how much physical activity, whatever it is on the nutrition and activity kind of energy balance, we have to be the ones starting to engage that dialogue.
I think that it's critical that we look at every patient encounter as an opportunity to have discussion about lifestyle. And it needs to start early. I think it's, we need to talk to parents about not just what they feed their children, but how they feed their children. Try to avoid some of those unintentional triggers that are developed that the child may struggle with on into the future. Certainly prevention is a lot easier than treatment. So those small steps, having those conversations on a consistent basis, yes, can make a huge difference. It's where we make our impact.
Well, in closing, I'd like to thank each of you for participating in this really important discussion about the epidemic of childhood obesity. And I'd also like to thank our viewers, and we hope the information presented today will help you recognize, diagnose, and improve the management of your overweight and obese patients. Also, be sure to log onto your computer at discoveryhealthcme.com. Take the post test. It's a quick way to earn free CME credit just for watching the program. And if you'd like to review the program, you can watch it online, download a podcast, or order a free DVD. Now, in addition, all the slides and references from the program are available on the website. Finally, I'd like to thank Kaiser Permanente for accrediting and sponsoring this program. For Discovery Health, I'm Rhea Blakey. See you next time on Discovery Health CME.